Talk, talk to me.
Welcome to Entrepreneur Magazine's Product Sourcing Show with your hosts, Chris Malta and Rob Cowie.
Thanks for joining us today. I'm Chris Malta. My co-host Rob Cowie will be back with us next week. Lots of people visit thrift and consignment shops to find bargains on a variety of items. However, many e-biz owners don't realize that thrift and consignment shops are a tremendous product sourcing opportunity. Today we're speaking with Kate Holmes, who grew up in the consignment business and opened her own shop in 1975. She's edited and published a resale industry newsletter and is the author of Too Good to Be Through, the Complete Operations Manual for Resale and Consignment Shops, now in its seventh edition. Kate, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris.
Boy, I hope my book does that well. You're in the seventh edition. How long has it been since you published the book?
The very first edition was in 1988, and it's sold consistently ever since.
That's terrific. Let's talk about consignment and thrift. Now, tell us why online sellers should go to resale shops for merchandise to resell, and given that many people think that all the profit potential might be gone from those items.
Not at all. The problem, of course, with bricks and mortar shops is that they have a very limited market. If there's nobody in their town that happens to want a pair of Jodhpurs that week, those Jodhpurs will be sitting there waiting for an eBay seller to be able to snap them up.
Good point.
They also, of course, have a limited space, so the shops need to move things on. They can't just leave something in their garage until they decide to post it on eBay. Their space is too valuable to let items sit without selling.
Right, so you see all kinds of material. So what you're saying basically is that bricks and mortar stores have a set inventory that they bring in all the time. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, they only have so much space, so they can only carry things, you know, so many things. So if they can move it on and bring something else in, they're pleased with that. That's something that online sellers don't need to worry about. They're not paying retail space rent.
Right. Right, good point. What's the difference now between resale, consignment, and thrift shops?
Well, theoretically, any store that resells anything is called a resale shop, but within the industry, resale, calling yourself a resale shop, generally means that you buy outright used items to sell. A consignment shop obviously takes things on consignment from the general public, and a thrift store is usually the term used for a not-for-profit that relies mostly or completely on donations to get their merchandise.
Okay, so let's define those if we could. The resale you said was what? I'm sorry.
Resale is a buy outright shop. It buys things either at garage sales and so on, or it actually has sellers coming into the store to sell items to the shopkeeper.
Okay, so the shop owner will actually go out to different kinds of sales and,
right.
and buy goods in bulk or whatever they can find, right, and bring them in?
Correct.
In a consignment shop, just for our listeners, how does that work?
A consignment shop means that the person who owns the item, in effect, hires the shop to sell it for them. They maintain ownership of the item until it's sold. The shop takes a cut of the selling price and returns it to the owner once the item's sold. If an item is not sold, the consignor, the person who owns it, does not receive anything for it.
Okay, so basically you're going to someone, you're taking them an item and saying, sell this for me, and you get a commission if you sell it.
Right.
And if it's not sold, they'll come and get it.
Right.
And thrift shops, a little more detail if we could on that one.
A thrift shop is usually the term used for a not-for-profit shop run by a church or some other sort of charity that receives most of its merchandise as donations from its supporters.
Okay, so you see, for example, the Salvation Army stores all the time, right?
Right.
Is that an example of a thrift shop?
That's an example of a thrift, right. Or your
okay.
little local church thrift that's only open on Saturday mornings from 10 to 12, that's also a thrift shop.
Okay, great. And, you know, I've had people ask the question, I mean, if I own a business and I'm doing well and everything, should I go to a thrift shop and buy things up that, you know, otherwise should be there for people who don't have a lot of money to put clothes on their kids' backs and things? But really, the point is that the thrift shop is making money, and through that money, they're helping all those people that need those things anyway, right?
Right. The point of the thrift shop is to raise money. It's not to have a cheap store for people to buy things at.
Right. That's what I wanted to get out.
Right. Most thrift stores use the proceeds from what they sell to do other things with, whether it's job training, job placement, even something as simple as buying disposable diapers. They'd rather have the money than the merchandise, and they're not there as a place that people can come in and receive clothing. There are free clothing pantries, but that's a whole other animal.
Sure, sure. So now why should online retailers care how these different shops get their merchandise?
Well, for one thing, of course, the shop will have more wiggle room, you might call it. If they're a donation shop, they want to receive $5 for that item, but if you're standing there and say, can I have it for $2.50, they may well say yes. A consignment shop can't say that because they're going to owe at least that $2.50 to the person who owns it, so you're eating into their profits. A buy outright shop, a shop that has bought items to resell, if it's well run, the owner will know how much she has invested in that item and will be able to say yay or nay to any offer that you give them.
Okay. Should individuals planning to product source through these shops identify themselves? Do you go into these stores and say, I'm an eBay reseller or I'm an online retailer? Or should you not do that? Just go on and buy what you're looking for?
No, I would definitely identify yourself. For one thing, it makes you a little bit more honest seeming. You know, say, hi, my name is John, and you know, I sell things on eBay, and I am looking for, and it gives you an opportunity to tell the shopkeeper what it is that you're interested in. You also want to let them know if you have a specialty, if there's something that you are particularly interested in, for several reasons. One, there may be something in their back room. Two, there may be something coming in tomorrow that normally they wouldn't accept, but if they know that you want those Jodhpurs, they'll go, maybe I'll take them and maybe John will buy them. And also to let them know that you are a picker so that there's not any weird feeling about why is, you know, this guy buying ladies' lingerie or that type of thing.
Very good point. Now, in your own shop, you run a shop yourself, correct?
I opened a shop in 1975. I sold it in 1996.
Okay, well, great. Sounds like a good run. So you had people that came in and did this kind of thing with you. I mean, I know back in 96 the Internet was very young, but did you have people that came in that you knew were buying for other purposes that would take, you know, bulk a group of products or look for specialty things? Would that make you go out and look for things to stock your shop with for those people?
I would do that. I would also put things aside for them. I would also accept things on consignment that otherwise I wouldn't. I would also go out of my way to find things in my own shop for them. I had, especially back then, an awful lot of vintage dealers that would come to me because I was in Ohio, and that was the happy hunting grounds for antique shops and vintage clothing shops on either coast.
Uh-huh.
So I could collect up anything that I thought might work for them vintage-wise, put it aside for them until they showed up.
What are some of the most interesting things that you've had in your shops?
A snow leopard coat.
A snow leopard coat?
That, unfortunately, I had to give up to customs. I wasn't allowed to resell it because it was an endangered species, even though it was a lot older than you and me combined.
I don't know about me, but yeah, maybe you, sure. So what else have you found along the way?
Oh, my goodness, we've sold everything from princess chairs to tricycles to antique wicker, things of that sort, even though my shop was basically clothing because I knew that I had pickers coming in, I would hang on to some unusual things for them. Sold a lamp that said Tiffany Studios. Didn't say Louis Comfort Tiffany, but it did say Tiffany Studios in it.
Mm-hmm.
Sold that one for $35.
Wow.
Missed that one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So then can people expect some sort of discount in these shops? I mean, you know, what kind of pricing are we looking at when someone comes into a thrift shop or consignment shop?
Well, again, it depends on how they've gotten their merchandise and who they're going to owe money to once the item's sold and how much bargaining room they have. Many thrift shops obviously do not have anything except their labor involved in an item, would rather get $10 for it and move it on than let it sit there for $15. A lot of consignment shops do have a policy with their consignors that they are allowed to mark things down as needed to make a sale. So that's another reason that it's important for the picker to know the shop and to know how the shop operates. In my shop, we had standard automatic markdowns, which meant that I could not reduce something without taking it out of my own pocket to help the buyer.
What do you look for? Do you still go into thrift shops?
Oh, yeah, certainly.
Yeah. What do you look for when you go to thrift shops?
I look for the unusual things, for the things that don't fit the profile of the shop. And that's a wonderful way also for pickers to get deals. If I go into a very classy shop and it's got something that's not so classy, I'll know that they want to get rid of it. I call this shopping the edges.
Uh-huh. You know what? There's in supermarkets, there are places that are that things are positioned in. Like, for example, milk and bread is always way in the back.
Right.
So you have to go through the whole place, right?
Right.
And
well,
the more
expensive. Diamond shops and thrift shops, they put things on the edges that they don't know what to do with.
Okay.
If they're a baby shop, if they sell children's clothing and children's equipment, and they get in something that does not apply to children, they kind of tuck it in a corner and hope it'll disappear. So that's the type of thing that you want to look for. They don't want it there. You know, it doesn't fit their profile of their customer. They would be more than happy for you to take it off their hands.
Okay, great. What's the best way to ask for a discount from a thrift shop?
Politely.
Politely. That's a very good point.
Very good. It is a very good point. People get a little bit caught up in themselves sometime and say, will you take $5 for this?
Yeah.
Instead of saying something like, what's the best you can do on this?
So what you need to realize is you're not at a garage sale.
Right, exactly. And the person does have money and effort and time tied up in the item.
Sure, and overhead for the store as well.
Right.
Okay. We'll continue learning about consignment and thrift shop product sourcing from Kate Holmes of www.tgtbt.com when we come back from a short break. Thanks for listening to the Entrepreneur Magazine Product Sourcing Radio Show. I'm Chris Malta.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Magazine's Product Sourcing Show with your hosts, Chris Malta and Rob Cowley.
It's tough running a business, and it's even tougher doing it well. But that's what you must do if you're going to survive in a world where your competition is working harder, smarter, and longer to grab business from you. If you know your company could be doing better but isn't, take a look at Business Advisors International. We're a full-service business consulting organization. Our highly skilled business advisors offer specialized expertise in business planning, sales and marketing, performance enhancement, financial management, and more. We can boost sagging profits and performance to levels that'll make even the most conservative accountants smile. Take advantage of our complimentary no-obligation executive style analysis, which will immediately impact your leadership skills and improve your ability to effectively communicate with your organization and with your customers. It doesn't matter if you're a startup or a small or mid-sized business, we can help you succeed. Check us out at BIAAdvisor.com. Do it before your competitors do. That's BIAAdvisor.com.
The Entrepreneur Magazine Radio Network is pleased to announce the grand opening of the BizRadioMall.com, a virtual mall stocked full of products and services you won't find anywhere else. Tools to start or grow your business, services to improve your bottom line or increase sales, special offers and discounts only available through this mall. Simply log on to www.BizRadioMall.com and stroll through the many stores we now have open. All products and services you see are from our hosts, partners, and advertisers, so you know that what you see is what you'll get. The Biz Radio Mall is also a featured eBay store. Shop, buy, and pay for immediate delivery. The Biz Radio Mall also has items for your health, mind, and body. Take a moment and see what we have for you and your business. That's BizRadioMall.com. Check back frequently as the mall is opening new stores on a regular basis. That's www.BizRadioMall.com, another service of the Entrepreneur Magazine Radio Network.
By following proven tax strategies, it is true that the wealthiest Americans pay taxes at a lower rate than most middle-class Americans. And of all the tax strategies, there is one that trumps them all. The good news is, if you're a small or home-based business owner, you can use this secret to legitimately slash your tax bill today. We're the Tax Club, and we want to reveal this top secret strategy of the ultra-rich to you. Call us and we'll spend up to 30 minutes on how you can best use this secret. Plus, we'll give you a whole slew of other tax reduction tips and techniques that'll save you money now and for years to come. The only cost is 30 minutes of your time. But we think it'll be the best possible action you can take to make your business more profitable. Plus, you'll also get a free special report from the Tax Club on the top 10 tax tips for small and home-based businesses. We're nationwide, and we're the Tax Club. Give us a call at 1-800-462-7907. That's 1-800-462-7907.
In business, nothing ever happens until a sale is made. Sales come from good leads, and good leads come from lead411.com. Whether you're a sole proprietor or have a large sales force, Lead411.com provides you with an online sales lead service with a database of over 200,000 executives and over 50,000 companies. Lead411.com has developed proprietary technology that spiders the internet to find companies that are expanding with venture capital, new hires, and new marketing programs. Translation, hot prospects. Simply download the lead information, including contacts, phone numbers, and executive email addresses. The service also includes email updates, all for just pennies a day. Leave the lead research to lead411.com. To try this valuable sales tool for free, log on to lead411.com and click on our one-day free trial. Lead411.com. See what quality leads can do for your sales effort.
Introducing NoMoreWebmasters.com. That's right. No middleman, no expensive fees to pay. You build your own website, choosing from over 100 templates, even if you have never built a website in your life. At NoMoreWebmasters.com, it's easy. Reserve your own domain name for only $7.85 for 1 year. If you want NoMoreWebmasters.com to host your site, hosting for a basic 5-page website is only $4.95 a month. Advanced e-commerce sites are available as well. NoMoreWebmasters.com can help you do it all yourself with simple point-and-click directions. No programs to learn or download. It's fun and easy. For business or for pleasure, your own website hosted for just $4.95 a month and a domain name for $7.85 a year. The name says it all, NoMoreWebmasters.com. Log on now to choose your own domain name. NoMoreWebmasters.com, your one-stop shopping on the Internet place.
While you are listening to our radio network, log on to entrepreneur.com. All business, all the time.